Podcasts machen voll Bock, ey.
Willkommen zurück zu Open Court, dem Podcast des FC Bayern Basketball. Mein Name ist Ole Freaks und ich habe heute den Playmaker zu Gast, Cassius Winston. Cash kam im Sommer nach 2 Jahren in der NBA nach München. Im Podcast erzählt er mir davon, wie er zum Basketball kam, welche Gemeinsamkeiten Michigan State-Legende Tom Izzo und Andrea Trinchieri haben und was er über das europäische Spiel noch lernen muss. Außerdem sagt er voraus, wer in diesem Jahr College-Champion wird. Kleiner Disclaimer, die Folge ist wenig überraschend auf Englisch und beginnt genau jetzt. Today we're talking right after practice. It's another busy week for the team. How is your body feeling at this point of the season?
It's a little tough right now. Like, just, you know what I'm saying? It's a lot of games, a lot of practice and stuff like that. So guys are feeling it right now, but we got a good little week right here to kind of get us back together and get ready to go back out there.
It is your first season in Europe. Is this kind of schedule comparable to anything you've experienced before?
Nah, not at all. Not at all. It's completely different. Like I said, just the travel, the practice, the amount of games, how physical the game is. This is completely different than anything I've done before. So it's my first time kind of doing it like this.
Did the physical nature of the game here surprise you in any way? Or?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, you hear about it, but you don't really know until you actually get out there and go do it. So just to see how guys are night in, night out, playing this physical, this fast, you know what I'm saying? Competing this hard every single game is something that you got to adjust to.
And Mondays, so yesterday, it's usually an off day for you. What do you do on free days? I know they're quite rare during the season.
Yeah, I mean, it depends on how I'm feeling. Some days I might go out to eat, get some dinner with the guys. Me, Bong, and Freddie usually try to go somewhere, get something to eat every now and then. Other times, depending on how I'm feeling, I might not leave the house. You know what I'm saying? I might just take that as a day to just lay around because we don't really get the opportunity to do that a lot.
Do you know your way around Munich by now?
I wouldn't say I know my way around. I know how to get, you know what I'm saying, a couple places, a couple areas pretty efficiently. But, you know what I'm saying, I'm still learning the city. It's a big city with a lot of things going on.
When you first got here, like, was there something about the lifestyle surprising for you? Did you have any kind of culture shock or something like that?
I mean, it's a little slower pace. That's probably it, though. Munich is a really good city, though, especially to be my first time in Europe, to come to a city like Munich where it's easy to get around, it's easy to talk to people, it's easy to kind of find the things that you need. So it hasn't been that, like, huge of an adjustment, but just a slower pace and, you know what I'm saying, people kind of just relaxing, not moving too fast, minding their business. That's kind of different.
And what is for you like the biggest difference to life in the U.S.?
I guess like in the U.S. you just know, like, everything here is always new, so I always got to kind of be cautious and like double check things and make sure I know where I'm going, make sure I know what I'm saying, like all type of things like that. And at home, like everything kind of like just flows easier for me. So I just know exactly what I need. When I go to the grocery store, like going to the grocery store at home is easy. I go in there, boom, I need this. I know where it's at. Here it's kind of like I got to look at everything. I got to read everything. I got to double check things. So it just slows you down a little bit.
Yeah, when I talked to Freddie Gillespie, he told me he was like confused about the sizes of groceries because everything is so small here compared to the US.
Yeah, absolutely. You got to buy things. You go grocery shopping for one day, refrigerator small. Like everything is just completely different.
And are you as big of a fan of Butterbrezen as he is?
No, probably not. Probably not as big a fan as he is.
Growing up, he started as a football player before he made the switch to basketball. How about you? When did you start playing basketball?
Me, I've been playing basketball since maybe I was like 3 or 4 years old. So it was probably my first sport and kind of been playing it ever since, honestly.
And you were named after Cassius Clay, right? So was there ever a connection to boxing as well?
No connection to boxing. It's just a great name. Like I said, a great person, great athlete. Something my parents kind of clung to when they thought of what they were going to name me. So it's just something that, you know what I'm saying, he's the greatest and he's one of the greats. So just that in mind.
Yes, it's quite a big of a name to live up to.
Yeah, for sure.
You grew up in Detroit at a time when the Pistons were still a powerhouse. Were you also a Pistons fan when you grew up?
Yeah, huge Pistons fans. Bill Lewis, Rip, Tayshaun, Sheed, Ben Wallace, like all those guys. Yeah, that was kind of the that was the great team. That's, in my eyes, that's still the greatest team ever assembled. So I'm always gonna be a huge Pistons fan.
Yeah, you were 6 years old when they got the title, right?
Yeah, I was young. But I still remember, like I said, I still remember that time. Like I said, the city was just alive. Everybody was just going crazy, you know what I'm saying? To bring a championship to Detroit, that's not easy to do. So anytime guys get together and make that happen, like, they're going to go down in history.
How big is basketball in Detroit compared to the other sports?
Huge, probably the biggest. I mean, basketball and football are two like big sports in the city. It's just one of the things that the people in the city like cling to, you know what I'm saying? It's a way for people to better their situations. It's a way for people to escape. It's a way for people to make something out of their lives. So like I say, anywhere you go, it's always going to be talent. There's always going to be guys hooping. It's always going to be guys playing football, trying to just be the best that they can.
Were you interested in football as well?
I probably played football for like 3 months, and it got cold outside and hitting and all that. And I was like, nah, I don't think this one's going to be for me. So I just stuck to basketball.
Yeah, I feel that. I think that's a better choice, I guess. Besides that, what was it like growing up in Detroit for you?
It was good. It was good. Like I said, I feel like if you're from there, you understand that's kind of the best city in the world. If you're not from there, it's probably hard to understand. But for me, it helped just build who I am today. You know what I'm saying? The mindset, the toughness, being close to my family, you know what I'm saying? My grandparents, my parents, like all of us were in the city, able to just enjoy each other. So I wouldn't want to be from anywhere else. I love the fact that I'm from Detroit. I carry that with me strongly everywhere I go, and I'm proud of it.
How big was basketball and sports in general for your family?
Oh, it was huge. It was huge. Basketball is one of the things that kind of brought us together. You know what I'm saying? It's one of those things that we all enjoyed. We all clung to. So it always was something that we all could just do together. You feel me? You always want something that y'all can kind of enjoy and not, you know what I'm saying, split the family up and things like that. So basketball is always one of those things that we always, like, would go to the gym. We always would play. We would do it for fun. We would go compete, but it was just one of the things that we really enjoyed as a family.
And I know that like 3.5 years ago, your younger brother Zachary died after being struck by a train. I can't imagine what you went through there, but what was he like for you? What was your relationship like?
Yeah, Zach was, like I said, it's probably one of the people that I love most in this world. You know what I'm saying? That's my little brother. I was responsible for taking care of him in a lot of ways, looking after him, making sure they were straight. So, like I said, you had to be around and know how close we were. The people who saw us knew how we did everything together. You know what I'm saying? He was a part of us, a part of who we are, part of who I am today, and always will be. But he was the guy that always was smiling and laughing and making sure that we were joking and having fun and always keeping us on our toes with something interesting to talk about. Just like I said, that side of the family where we're just so much more to us and so much more like character and personality. Like, he had all that. So he was just that kind of guy that kept us smiling, kept us moving, kept us up today, kept us something to laugh about. So he was that guy for our family.
And when that tragedy happened the next day, when I read it correctly, you were back on the court against Binghamton. Can you explain what went through your mind that day and what went into that decision to play the next day?
Yeah. I mean, there was a lot of things going on. It's kind of hard to kind of gather everything that was going on in my mind. Like I said, it was just my escape. You know what I'm saying? Basketball has always been my place where it's just not really attached to reality, you know what I'm saying? So it's just a breakaway for me. Whenever I step on the court, like, only thing that matters is me being on the court. So anytime something's tough going on, even something good or whatever like that, if I get a chance to go out there on the court, it's a break. So I had to go out there. Like I said, there's a lot of emotions going on in my family. A lot of people were all of us were hurting. All of us had a lot going on, and that was just me just going out there and giving our family a break for this, whatever, how long it is, 40 minutes, whatever, how long this is us to get a chance to just think about something else real quick. And then when we come back, our problems and stuff will still be there.
Yeah. Yeah. I get it. You still honor him with a handshake before every game until this day, right? How did that ritual come about?
Just me making sure that he knows that he's out here with me, you know what I'm saying, before I go out here and, you know what I'm saying, do what I do and, you know what I'm saying, do the thing that I love and that we share, you know what I'm saying. There's something that's special between between all of us and something that we will always share. So every time I step out there on the floor, he's with me, and I acknowledge him before the game. Just, you know what I'm saying? Check on him. Make sure he check on me. Like, yeah, your baby good. We good. We going to go out here and do what we need to do. You know what I'm saying? So every time I step out there, I just make sure I tap in with him. And he tap back in with me, and then we go out here and get ready to get to it.
Yeah, that's really nice. When did you realize you had the talent to maybe pursue a professional career in basketball?
I mean, I want to say like that's always been in my head. Like that's always my plan. You know what I'm saying? Like I was one of those kids that, what do you want to do when you're little? Like, you know what I'm saying? I want to go to the NBA. I want to be a professional. So that's always been my goal in my head. That's always been where I was headed with it. I think it probably got realistic maybe around like my sophomore year of college. I think that's when, like, you know what I'm saying, especially my junior year, I think that's when everybody else like caught on, where it's like, okay, yeah, like he has what it takes and stuff like that. But me personally, I thought I was gonna make it happen since I was a baby, honestly.
So that was always the plan. Yeah. but you managed to achieve it, which is changes you or differentiates you from a lot of other people who share that dream.
Yeah, for sure.
What convinced you to go to Michigan State in 2016?
I mean, they did. They recruited me. Coach's staff, Coach Izzo, DJ was there, OG, the players were there before, Denzel Valentine, like just the whole environment, the whole, what they were saying to me, the whole play style, the mindset, the mentality. And the biggest thing was how they treated my family. You know what I'm saying? Like, I would go in there, and my little brothers could go in there without me, and they would treat them like they were me. You know what I'm saying? And that was before I even got there. So, you feel me? If Kai or Zach needed something, they can go up right to Coach and ask him, and he would treat them as if I was asking them for it. And that was something that I always respected. You know what I'm saying? Like, you're going to look out for my people like that and take care of my family like that and treat them like as if they were me, no matter if I'm around or not. Like, that shows a lot about their character and a lot about the people who work there, and that's a really important thing to me. So it was kind of a no-brainer that this was the place for me. This is the place where I'm going to go and develop, and it turned out to be one of the best decisions I ever made.
Yeah, Coach Tom Izzo is obviously a legend in the college game who developed a lot of great players and had tremendous success with the Spartans. How would you describe working with him as a player?
It's interesting. Like I said, he's a legend, you know what I'm saying? And for a reason. He's well-respected. He's a great coach. He pushes his guys to get the best out of them. It's just, like I said, when you go in there and those high expectations and that type of environment and things like that, like it helps you grow up really fast, especially coming in 18, 19. You think you got it all figured out, and then you get into this situation where you don't have it figured out at all, and then you got this coach who's on you and pushing you and stuff like that. So you got to navigate through a lot of things through there. But if you get through it, and once you get through it, like, you look back on it, you're really grateful for that experience. And that's what I said. You got to credit guys like that, and you got to respect them to be able to go in there and have guys playing at that high of a level for that long of a time and winning that many games. It's not easy. And when you do it consistently, people may think it's easy, but it's really not. So you got to respect guys who do it that often.
He's often described like as a very tough guy. Is his coaching style comparable at all to the style of Andreas Trinkieri that you have now?
Yeah, in a way, it's that same type of approach where it's kind of a tough love, and they're gonna make sure they stay on you and push you. But once you figure out that it's for the best for you, and they want the best for you, it's kind of easier to take in.
From looking at it, it always seems like Trinkieri is in your ear, especially in your ear, a lot. How would you describe the relationship you have with the coach in Bayern?
Yeah, I'm glad y'all noticed that too, man. No, like I said, it's been growing as we go. Like I said, you got to understand him and figure out where he's coming from. And like I said, he comes to me and he tells me that he just wants the best for me, and he wants to push me, and he's going to give me an opportunity to go out there and play. And that's all I can really ask for. So to get in a situation where somebody who trusts me is going to give me the opportunity to play, and he's going to get on me and push me and stuff like that, well, that means he just really wants me to go out there and be better And I want to go out there and be better too. So I understand it. And once they get that understanding, like I said, we've been getting better as the season going along.
Is it fair to say that as a point guard, you are like the person who has to be the extension of the coach on the floor? So is that usually why, as a point guard, you endure the most criticism by the coach as well?
Yeah, definitely, definitely. I'm the first line, you know what I'm saying? I'm the guy that kind of holds everything together. And my voice probably the one in the gym that people hear the most. So if it's a message or something that they want to get across, then I'm probably the guy that got to get it across through. So like I said, they hold point guards to a high standard. Always have, probably always will be. Just that's one of the positions that you kind of you sign up for that. You know what I'm saying? You sign up to be in that position.
Yeah, you're the one who has to call plays, to set up teammates, to control the game, figure out when you can score yourself. Did this come natural to you, this role? Did you always have it when you started playing?
No, it took time. It took a lot of time. Like I said, I've been playing for a long time and just figuring out. And I got to thank my coaches along the way who kind of just, you feel me, teach me things as I go from AAU all the way to Coach Izzo to now Coach Now. Just everybody just always giving me, you know what I'm saying, just different advices, different little tips, different little pointers and things like that. And it's up to me to kind of take from it, you know what I'm saying, what I can implement to myself and my game and keep growing and keep getting better. So, like I said, the product I am now, it took a while to get to, but like I said, it's just been consistent work over time.
Did you have a basketball idol, a player that you wanted to emulate on the court?
When I was growing up, my favorite player was Paul Pierce when I was little. That was my first favorite player. And Paul Pierce and Chauncey Billups, those were my favorite players growing up. And just like I said, watching those guys and how they played at their own pace and created for themselves and made things happen out there on the floor is always something that I looked up to.
Your leadership on the court definitely also led to a lot of success at college. You reached the second round of the NCAA tournament in your first 2 years, and in year three you got all the way to the Final Four. What do you remember about this run specifically?
Just how great we were as a team. You know what I'm saying? Once you find that little perfect balance of, like I said, you're not really worried about who you play. You know what I'm saying? You're just worried about how you come out there on the court, and you just worry about the guys that you got on your side. And I think we found that kind of balance where it doesn't really matter who we go out here and play. Like, as long as we bring ourselves and as long as we come to play, then we can beat anybody. And I think that's the mindset we kind of had during that time. And we, like I said, we built it through the year. We built that type of mindset where, like, we're going to be locked in with the guys. We're going to focus on what we got. And what we got, all that matter, and that's all we need. And once you find that little groove right there, then, you know what I'm saying, you can go out there and play against anybody.
For people who are not as familiar with the NCAA, who are listening to us right now, can you describe a little bit why March Madness is such a special event and is so loved in the U.S.?
It's just like I said, you got all the work throughout the year, so basically every team playing at their best, and anything can happen. You know what I'm saying? Like, anything can literally happen. You can play against anybody in any part of the world, any part of the country. And like I said, this is where kids' dreams are made. This is where big games happen, big moments. Like, all of it kind of ride down to these moments right here. So when you go out there and you're giving your all for this one game, and then, like I said, in the tournament, in the NCAA tournament, the only game that matters is this game that you're playing in. So you can kind of tell from the fans, the coaches, the players, everything kind of riding down to that. So it's just the best time of basketball in the year almost.
And what is the vibe like on campus during the tournament? Everybody is locked in. You're the big dog.
Right? Yeah, it's nuts. It's nuts. Like I said, I think we came back from the Final Four. We won the quarterfinals, came back from the Final Four, and it was like, I don't know how many people sit in the Breslin Center, but the Breslin Center packed out, people burning couches, the bars going crazy. Like, yeah, it's just like horses in the street. Like, it's a riot. So, like I said, once you get to that point, and because everybody behind you, you got the whole school behind you, the alums, like everybody all supporting you and riding for you. So it's just all that, everybody coming together for this one cause is something you can't beat.
I guess that ties you to your teammates for the rest of your life when you experience such a special time together.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. That's it. We guys locked in for life, you know what I'm saying, Spartan dogs for life. That's always going to be family. That's always going to be my guys. They know that. We know that. It's just, like I said, it's a part of it.
Is there a specific story, like off court during the tournament run that you like to remember that you maybe haven't told so far?
I don't know if I can tell my stories about the tournament run and what was going on. You know what I'm saying? We had a good time. The guys were all, like I said, we were all locked in, both on and off the court, man.
That's a politically correct answer. When you reached the Final Four in 2019, did you think about jumping to the pros back then?
Yeah, I thought about it. It was a decision. It was a decision, but like I said, I feel like I had a lot to get better at. I feel I had a lot to still come back to Michigan State and accomplish and things like that. So I don't regret coming back. I think I came back, had a really good year, set out some of the goals that I wanted to achieve, got some of them. Like I said, our tournament got cut short and stuff like that, so didn't get to finish the year off strong. But I feel like if we would have got a chance to, then I would have had a chance to finish some more things I had on my set as my goals.
Yeah, I was about to ask that. Obviously, because of COVID, there was no tournament, no chance to like crown your career in college. Does it still feel like unfinished business to you?
Yeah, definitely. It feels like, you know what I'm saying, just something that opportunity I was just missed out on, you know what I mean? And I mean, I guess because we didn't really have a chance, like I don't really dwell on it too much because it's not really in my control. It's not really like I could have did anything differently or made something happen, you know what I'm saying? Just the universe worked out that way. That's how things just kind of, it worked out that way. So I can't really control it, but definitely, you know what I'm saying, if things were different, then definitely I would like to have a tournament run and see what I can do with it.
And you were able to use the extra year still growing as a player, but you also finished your degree, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep. Finished my master's degree and stuff like that. So it was, like I said, it was a good opportunity for me to come back and just grow as a person off the court, grow as a player on the court. And like I said, I don't regret it at all.
What kind of degree did you get?
Advertisement management.
Is that something you think about maybe pursuing after your basketball career?
Yeah. I'm trying to figure out what I'm going to do with it right now. I want to go into the business area of some size. So, yeah, hopefully it'll come in handy for me one of these days.
Yeah, it can't hurt.
Yeah, right.
It is nowadays increasingly rare for players to spend the full 4 years at college because there are other ways to go into professional basketball and to jump a little bit earlier or go to another league. For you, what are the advantages of staying long, staying the whole time?
You grow. I think you grow into your full form as a player. You get an opportunity to kind of figure out a place. And if you stay at a place, you get that comfortableness of just knowing how things work here. You feel me? I think that's the majority of the part of being the best player that you can be is that you know how things operate, you know what to expect, so then you can just focus on playing basketball, you know what I'm saying, not everything else that comes with it. So when you go to other situations, you got to worry about coaches, different players, different teammates, different situations that have nothing to do with basketball, but they affect how you play on the court. So I say just going somewhere where people trust you and people got faith in you and people believe in you, and just let you grow as a player is something that can help your game in the long term.
After college, you were a second round pick and you fought for a roster spot in the NBA for 2 years. What did you learn about the business during your time with the Wizards and in the G League?
Just like I said, like that, just that, is once you get to this level, it's a business, in every situation. Like I said, it's what it is. Like, you can't really dwell your head on certain things that can or can't happen. It can happen for anybody. Any opportunity can open up for you at any time, at any moment, and that could be your shot. Sometimes you don't get your shot. It just all really depends on how things are working for you. Like I say, every person experiences their experience, and that's just the way it is. So just to learn that about it, and how things work and stuff like that, you kind of respect it. Some people get the short end of the stick. Some people get blessed. It's a part of the situation.
Do you feel like you could have done anything different during that time, or was it like out of your control?
Yeah, I feel like it was mostly out of my control. I think the opportunities that I did get, I took advantage of, and I made things happen. And you know what I'm saying? From there, certain things worked out, other things didn't. Like I said, I feel like if I didn't do what I needed to do in my opportunities, I wouldn't have had an opportunity like this. You know what I'm saying? So they all kind of work together. You can't really say that. It didn't work out for me because I still ended up in a really good situation and I'm still blessed to be in the situation that I'm in. And a lot of guys don't even get to be in this position. So As I said, you just got to look at it. It depends on your perspective and how you look at a thing.
In last summer, you played in the summer league for the Sixers, but then you decided to go to Bayern. We already talked a little bit about the schedule. Are there other things that surprised you about the game in Europe?
I mean, like I said, you hear about it, but you just don't really know until you get over here. You feel me? Like, you don't know, like, how big the players are on the court, how small the court is. The game is slower. You feel me? Just all those things like that. You don't know because you say basketball players. I'm a basketball player, so if they play basketball, I should be all right. So just making those adjustments out here and just figuring the things out as I go. Say we got a good staff, good people around here who know that you're going to go through those struggles and ups and downs. So they've been good, just supporting me through it.
Especially as a point guard, do you think it takes a little bit longer to get adjusted because you have to, like, control the game and be the one who manages what happens on the floor?
Yeah, definitely. You got to figure out the reads and when to hit guys and the windows close super quickly. So you got to get your instincts up a little bit more. Like, all these things you got to kind of learn at once, when to score, when to pass, when to slow down, when to speed it up. Like, just all those things, you kind of, it's your job to kind of control all those things. So you just got to be able to just try to, like I said, keep your head down, keep learning as you go, take your punches and just keep rolling with them.
What do you think about the overall level of play in the EuroLeague especially?
Oh, it's elite. Great talent all through the EuroLeague. So the best players, some of the best players in the world. You feel me? Only thing that separates these guys and the NBA is literally just a couple opportunities. You know what I'm saying? Like, you can swap these guys out, put them on NBA teams, and they'll be successful there. And just it's that narrow of a gap. So, like I said, these are really talented players, some of the best players in the world.
Did you have, during your time here, like, one or two games or moments where you thought, like, damn, I didn't know that this was possible here in Europe, this kind of play, or similar moments like that?
Oh, yeah. You find, like I said, you run into a lot of talent where you just, like, you look up and you'd be like, oh, I never heard of him. And, no, he's really, really good. Like, just, like I said, all these guys who've been playing for 8-9 seasons and are just, like, veterans and know how the game go and scoring wherever they want at any time they want to. Like I said, you run into guys like that all through the EuroLeague, where you, like, you look back on the game, be like, oh no, he's really, really nice, really talented. So, like I said, this is a league full of talent.
Was there a specific player that you where you can remember that you didn't really know about beforehand, and then you had a game and said, like, oh, that guy's pretty nice?
Yeah, what's his name? From Maccabi, Lorenzo Brown. Yeah. One, like I said, you go out there and you're like, okay. Like, they tell you about him, like, yeah, no, he's good, he's really good. And then you get out there and you're like, oh no, this game is easy for him. Like, he's on a whole different level. So, like I said, you got guys like that just sprinkled all throughout the league where it's just like, no, they're really, like I said, some really, really talented guys over here in this league.
Stylistically, does the game fit you better or worse than the NBA game?
I mean, I pride myself being able to fit kind of anywhere. Cause I feel like if you can dribble, pass, shoot, you know what I'm saying, know how to make the right plays and stuff like that, you can figure out a way to make your game fit in any style. So, like I said, I feel like I've been successful in my moments in the league. I feel like I've been successful in moments over here in Europe. And like I said, I feel like I would just either route, I feel like I'm going to just keep getting better year by year. So, you know what I'm saying? A couple years from now in Europe, then I feel like it's going to be much easier for me. So, I feel like my game kind of can fit in either of those groups.
Yeah, I was told that you are always, like, very eager to learn and improve, even, like, during your challenging season. Do you feel like you are completely settled in by now?
Yeah. Like I said, I think I'm still getting my feet wet. Like, I feel like you don't get that experience in a year. You know what I'm saying? I feel like I'm comfortable. Like, I'm comfortable going out there on the court and playing against anybody, and I'm ready to go. But I feel like I'm not at the peak of my game yet. I feel like it's just a lot more that I just got to learn, and I still got to grow and still got to figure things out. But I feel like if I keep going and just keep going out there, then I'm going to put it all together.
Are there, like, specific areas where you think you can still make an improvement?
Yeah, definitely. Like I said, I think my decision making, my timing, just knowing exactly where to be and when to be there, like, all those things like that are just come from just experience. Like, there's no substitution for it. There's no way that you can just fast track it. Like, you just really got to go out there and, like I said, see it. Oh, just didn't work. Don't do that anymore. Oh, this worked. Let's keep doing that. Okay, this keeps working. This must be the way that you do it. Like, it's just those are just little things that you don't know. Like, nobody can really tell you. You just got to figure out what works for you. And the only way to do it is go out there and just keep playing.
During the season, are you able to, like, after a game, watch a little bit of yourself and analyze it? Or is it usually because there is the next game right on schedule that you really have to go day by day and have to head to the next game directly?
It's a little bit of both. A little bit is trial and error out there in, like, live action. You kind of just got to go out there and bump your head. But you do got film. Coaches do a great job of talking to you. You got practice and stuff like that. So there's more ways to learn than just going out there and playing. You definitely got to watch yourself and just see what you're doing wrong and where you can improve and what's working and stuff like that. But I think it's a mixture of all of it. A lot, you got to go out there in the fire and just bump your head around and figure it out. And a lot, somebody will sit you down or you watch some film and you can figure it out before you get out there. So it's just a mixture of it.
Almost a month ago, you already won your first title with Bayern. So congrats on that.
Appreciate it.
What was the party like afterwards?
It was nice. We came back. All the staff was there, coaches. Like I said, you just see all this energy. You see how many people actually, like, working. You know what I'm saying? Like, we feel like we working, but there's so many more pieces working and stuff like that. So they have everybody there celebrating, great energy, great vibes. It's always a good time.
And afterwards, did you have a little bit of time off? Or how fast did you have to focus on, like, here's the next game?
I think we got a couple days off. Or maybe we had another game. It all kind of meshes together over time. But yeah, we got to be able to get a couple of days off just to regroup, reset, you know what I'm saying, get our mind ready to get back to this last stretch of the season.
Yeah, how important was it for you and the team to, like, achieve this first milestone during the season?
Oh, it was huge. Just like I said, for us as a team to see that we can play at that level, that we can get some hard work going in here. Relief to the staff a little bit, you know what I'm saying? Just everybody just relax a little bit, you know what I mean? Like, we capable of playing at this level. We know how to play at this level. We know how to get it done. So let's just go back into this next season and keep that in mind.
You only signed until the summer. Do you know yet if you want to stay long-term?
I haven't figured out. I mean, I'm pretty sure, like, negotiation with my people and stuff happening, but right now, I'm just focusing on this season right here and being the best player I can be right now.
All right, we also don't need to get too far ahead of ourselves, but let's focus on NCAA a little bit. Did you fill out the bracket yet for this tournament?
Not yet. They got a couple in front of me though. They want me to fill out, so I'm gonna fill it out. It's gonna be easy though. Michigan State gonna win it all, so I don't know why they really want me to fill it out. But I got them. I'll fill it out anyway.
Will you be watching the games of Michigan State?
Yeah. I'm going to tap in. Like I said, it's the best time of the year. You got to watch out for Spartans in March, man. So good luck to anybody who got run into them.
All right. Best of luck on that front. So, Cash, this has been really fun. Thanks a lot for your time.
Appreciate it, my guy. Appreciate it.
And good luck for the rest of the season.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Yep.
So, und das war's für heute. Ich hoffe, es hat euch gefallen. Hinterlasst uns gerne ein Abo oder eine Bewertung, wo immer ihr Podcasts hört. Und damit bis zum nächsten Mal.
Ja, so Podcasts machen voll Bock, ey.